We turn in God's Word tonight to John chapter 1. Gospel according to John chapter 1. I started a while back a series on this gospel account, and this is one of the last passages that I preached on. I also used this for applicatory a couple of weeks ago in my own congregation, the passage we'll be looking at tonight. We'll begin reading at verse 35 and read through verse 51. In the verses before this in John 1, we have the record of some of the work of John the Baptist in his ministry. When he was pointing out Jesus Christ, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." We read of that in verse 29, and that was the first time he pointed out Jesus Christ in his ministry, and now he does that again in verse 35. So we'll read verses 35 through 51. That'll be our scripture reading and the text for tonight as well, where we see Jesus calling disciples to himself. "Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, 'Behold the Lamb of God.' And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, 'What seek ye?' They said unto him, 'Rabbi,' which is to say, being interpreted, 'Master,' 'where dwellest thou?' He saith unto them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John spake and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, 'Thou art Simon the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas,' which is by interpretation, 'a stone.' The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, 'Follow me.' Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, 'We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' And Nathanael said unto him, 'Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?' Philip saith unto him, 'Come and see.' Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, 'Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile.' Nathanael saith unto him, 'Whence knowest thou me?' Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee.' Nathanael answered and saith unto him, 'Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel.' Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these.' And he saith unto him, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man.'" And thus far, we read God's Word and our text for tonight. Kids, here's a question for you to start off. Maybe you've been asked before, who is your favorite teacher? And maybe we as adults can remember a time when adults would ask that question, who is your favorite teacher? And then often we would answer that question thinking about maybe the teacher that was the easiest, or the teacher that was the funnest teacher that we had in school. That's how we often answer when we're young. I can remember a time for myself that I wouldn't answer the question the same as I do now. I can look back at a high school teacher that I had. She certainly was not a fun teacher. She wasn't the easiest teacher, but she was an English teacher, and I think I learned the most about English grammar and writing from her when I was in high school, and so I look back and say she would be one of my favorite teachers, even though she wasn't when I was in high school. But my point in asking that question tonight is for us to remember and see and understand that we have a teacher who is higher and better than any other teacher that you and I have had. And that teacher is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our teacher in the Holy Scriptures. He's the one who is our teacher even from the pulpit as he speaks to us in the preaching of the gospel. We learn about this teacher from the name that is given to our Savior in this passage, Rabbi. That's a name that indicates that our Savior is our teacher. Now, what that means for us is that as those who are believers in Jesus Christ, we are students of His. You and I are all students of His. You and I in our lives are in school. We're in the school of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is our rabbi. We find in this passage that we're looking at tonight, Jesus called some of His disciples. Some of what we have recorded here is not recorded in the other gospel accounts. But there are other things that are recorded in the other gospel accounts about how Jesus Christ called His special disciples, the inner 12 who lived with Him. But tonight, as we look at those who are disciples of Christ, those who are part of His inner circle of disciples, and they were in the school of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to see in this something broader than those who are called to a particular office of being disciple and later apostles. Because Jesus instructs us later in His ministry that all those who are believers in Jesus Christ are disciples or followers or students of His. And so tonight in this applicatory service, we want to be reminded not only of the fact that we are disciples of Jesus Christ, but how we are to live as disciples of Jesus Christ. This is how we live in gratitude. This is how we live as the people of God. We're disciples of His, students of His. So with that in mind, we consider tonight our rabbi. The general theme I'm using for my series is, who is Christ Jesus? Here we see that He is our rabbi. Three things that we look at. Finding. So how do we find this teacher? Well, we find Him because He finds us. Secondly, what it means to follow Him. So following this teacher, what it means to be a disciple of His. And then finally, there's a future that our Lord Jesus Christ points us to at the very end of this text. So finding, following, and future. The question we begin with is this: how does the Lord Jesus Christ become our rabbi or our teacher? How does He become our teacher? It's not by our choice, and it's not by default, but it's because He chooses us and He calls us or He finds us to be His disciples. We see here that our Lord Jesus Christ called His disciples to be disciples of His. And it's the same thing that the Lord Jesus Christ does to us. But notice here in the text, there are two ways in which Jesus Christ called disciples. We could put it this way. He called them indirectly and directly. First of all, we notice that He called some of the disciples indirectly, meaning He used someone else to call them to be disciples. The first person that He used to call disciples to Himself is John the Baptist. That's the very beginning of the text. When John the Baptist stood there and he was preaching, and two of his disciples were by him. And John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And those two disciples who were with him understood what John the Baptist was saying. He was saying to them, "Don't follow me anymore, follow him." So we learn something about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was not about himself. He was not about his own ministry. He was not about keeping disciples for himself. He was always about pointing others to the Lamb of God, the one who would save them from their sins. And it was through John the Baptist then that two disciples were called to Jesus Christ. We also see this with one of these disciples, Andrew. Andrew was the brother of Simon Peter. He was one of those first two disciples of John the Baptist who begins following Jesus. When Andrew is called to be a follower of Jesus, what does he do? He thinks of his brother Peter. And he goes to Peter and he says to Peter, "Peter, we found the Christ. We found the Messiah. Come and follow him." And Peter goes and he follows Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ called two of these disciples through the means of others witnessing to them. But also, Jesus called some of the disciples directly. We say that, first of all, with Philip. We read of that in verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." The idea here is that Jesus Christ knew that Philip was going to be one of his disciples. That implies election. And then Jesus finds him. He goes and seeks him out and then calls him to be one of his disciples. So it's not simply that Jesus stumbled upon him and thought, "Oh, this man will be good as a disciple of mine." No, he made a beeline to Philip. We see that also with Nathanael, though in a bit of a different way. Philip goes to Nathanael and says to Nathanael, "Nathanael, we found the one who Moses and the law and the prophets did write, and this one is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael's response is, "Can there be any good thing that's come out of Nazareth?" He doubts very much that someone out of Nazareth could be the Christ. Well, Nathanael says, "Well, come and see." And then he goes, and even then he's not believing, but then the Lord Jesus Christ says to him, "Well, I saw you even before now we've met face to face. I saw you under a fig tree, and I knew the kind of man that you were." And through that, Nathanael believes and becomes a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's because the Lord Jesus Christ chose him and called him to be a disciple. From this, we learn how it is that we, as believers in Jesus Christ, become disciples of Jesus Christ. We become disciples of Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ has called us to be disciples or followers of his. That's not just true of those who are in special office in the church, that they're called by Jesus Christ to that office. They are. But all of us, as disciples of Christ, are called to be his disciples. When we say called, what do we mean by that? Well, first of all, what we're talking about is the powerful and effectual work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. So that when Jesus comes with the command, "Follow me," when the Holy Spirit works in us, we do follow him. So there's this work of the Holy Spirit. Think about these men. What explains that in Andrew, a Peter, a Philip, a Nathanael, they leave their previous occupations, they leave everything else that they were doing, and now they begin following Jesus day by day, not just going to some classroom for a few hours in a day, but they live with Jesus. What explains that? Well, it's nothing in themselves. It's the effectual call of Jesus Christ as he works by the Spirit. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to these men and say, "Well, here are the benefits for the work that I call you to do. Here's the job description of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Why don't you think about it for the next week and then get back to me and let me know if you're going to be one of my disciples?" That's not the way it worked. He called and they followed. And the only explanation can be the powerful work of Jesus Christ by his Spirit. So that's true for us. Why are we disciples of Jesus Christ? The work of the Spirit in our hearts. But the Spirit uses means. Jesus Christ uses means. He uses the means of the preaching of the gospel and the witness of his people to make disciples. And those two things often go together. Just think about that as parents. You speak to your children about Jesus Christ. You disciple them. You're saying to them as they grow up, be disciples of Jesus Christ, be followers of him, and along with your teaching, you bring them to hear the preaching of the gospel, and the Lord Jesus Christ works that so that in the line of generations, we see children believing in Jesus Christ and following him in their lives. But that's not the only way in which it's done. We witness in the world in which we live. We speak to others about Christ, and we speak to others about God's saving grace. And it may be that others are brought under the preaching of the gospel, and then through that preaching, they come to know and believe in Jesus Christ. These are the means that Jesus Christ uses to make followers of his in this world. So remember the question. How do we become followers, students, disciples of Jesus Christ? It's because he finds us. It's because he calls us by the preaching and the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. When he calls us to be his disciples, that means that Jesus Christ is our rabbi. He is our rabbi. That's a name that tells us something about our relationship to Jesus Christ. And so let's look at the text a moment and understand the meaning of that name rabbi. It's found in two places. It's found, first of all, in verse 38. And then again, Nathanael calls Jesus Christ rabbi in verse 49. What does that name rabbi mean? Well, the name rabbi means great one. There are many teachers among the Jews of that day who were known by that title, rabbi, and it meant great one. In verse 38, when Jesus there calls these two disciples of John to follow him, he said to them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," and then there's this parenthesis there that explains that name rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, master. Now that name master comes from the Greek New Testament word which means to teach. So it's teacher. So when you put together master and rabbi, the idea is this: great teacher. Great teacher. So that's what we learn about Jesus Christ. He is our great teacher. Or in the language of the Heidelberg Catechism, he is our chief prophet. He's the best teacher in all of the world. He is our greatest teacher. So that if someone would ask us, who is your favorite teacher or who is the best teacher, we could all give the same answer: our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is he the best teacher? Why is he the greatest teacher? It's because of who he is. He's the Word become flesh. That's where John begins his gospel account, the Word. Word means he's the fullest revelation of who God is. And he's the fullest revelation of who God is because he is the Son of God in our flesh. He's the source of all true knowledge. He's the source of the truth. And he is that source because he is the Son of God. That means that he's the source of all true knowledge for us. This means he is the teacher that we need. And thus we, as his people, want to sit at his feet. And that's what we do when we're in the Word. That's what we do when we're here in worship and we're hearing the preaching of the gospel. We sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him. May we have that impressed upon us tonight, that our Lord Jesus Christ is the teacher that we need. Because there's so much that we must learn from him. Why do we need him? This morning we were reminded in the Lord's Supper that we need his atoning sacrifice to be delivered from the punishment of our sins. We need him for that. But there's another reason that we need him. We need him because of the blindness of sin. We need him because sin distorts truth. And we need the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ to drive out all the lies of the devil and all the lies of this world and all of the lies that we would easily hold on to. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to show us what is the will of God concerning our salvation. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to show us why we need salvation. It's because of our sin. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to teach us truth that sets us free from all the lies of the devil. We need the truth of Jesus Christ that shows us how we are to live. We need the truth of Jesus Christ that shows us how we are to respond when we go through suffering in our lives. We need Jesus Christ to teach us who God is, to teach us his greatness and majesty. And our Savior does that. That's what he does right here in the Holy Scriptures. We are students in the school of Jesus Christ as disciples of his, and we have a textbook, the best textbook in all of the world, the Holy Scriptures that teach us this truth. He's our teacher here in the Holy Scriptures. So we see and understand tonight that as disciples of Jesus Christ, what that means is that Jesus Christ is our great teacher. He is our rabbi. That makes us followers of his. And that's the next thing we want to look at here in the text, following our rabbi, Jesus Christ. In the text, we learn what it means to follow this rabbi. That comes out with a couple of words here in the text. The first one is disciple, and the second one is the verb follow. The word disciple means a learner or a student or a pupil. And that verb follow means to accompany, to cleave steadfastly, to walk with this teacher. So the idea is that we are students of the Lord Jesus Christ who are following this teacher and hearing what he has to say to us. Out of this, there arises four things in the text that show us what it is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So, four things that show us what it is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. The first is this: a disciple or student of this rabbi or teacher lives with him. Lives with him. And so that's the question for us tonight. Are we disciples of Christ who are living with him? You know, I'd say, well, what does that mean? Well, let's look at how that is brought out here in the text. Let's go back to verse 38. This is when those two disciples of John the Baptist follow Jesus. And we read in verse 38, Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? Or his question is this: why are you following me? And they answered Jesus' question with a question. Now, maybe we've been told you shouldn't answer a question with a question. They do that, but there's significance to the question they ask. Their question to him is, Rabbi, where dwellest thou? Where do you live? We might think that's a strange question to ask in response to Jesus' question. Why are you following me? Rabbi, where do you live? But it makes sense when you understand the idea of being a rabbi in that day. Those who were rabbis in that day didn't just teach their students in a classroom setting so that they had class for a few hours a day or even 6 hours a day or 8 hours a day and then sent them home. When you were under a rabbi, you lived with him. You ate with him. You talked with him. You went where he went. You did almost everything with him. So that's why they're asking, where dwellest thou, Rabbi? Where do you live? They were saying, we will follow you wherever you go. We want to be students in your school And we're going to dedicate our lives to learning from you. They're not just saying, well, we'll go to class, we won't show up late, we won't ditch class. No, they're saying, we're going to dwell with you and we're going to live with you. They would dedicate their lives to Jesus Christ. And that's what we find them doing in verse 39. He saith unto them, so here's Jesus' response to them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. They lived with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. From 4 o'clock in the afternoon on that day, they began living with Jesus and then learning in his classroom as they lived with him. What that tells us is that disciples of Jesus Christ are those who live with him. You might think that that's a strange idea, but it's not. It comes out more in this gospel account. In John 15, verses 4 and 10, Jesus says to his people, to believers in him, to his disciples, abide in me. What this means is that disciples of Jesus Christ have a personal relationship with him. But the personal relationship with him is not one in which we're just looking at Jesus for what we can receive from him. We don't follow Jesus to have an easier life. We don't follow Jesus to get rich. That's the health and wealth gospel. Follow Jesus, you'll be healthy, you'll be rich, you'll get everything that you want. No, we don't follow Jesus for those reasons. We don't follow Jesus for the benefits that we get from it, for the benefit package that is part of following Jesus. But instead, as those who abide with him, we know him. We know his love for us, and we love him. We want to serve him all the days of our lives. We want to spend time with him, and we do that. We spend time with our Lord Jesus Christ when we're in the Word. We spend time with our Lord Jesus Christ when we're here in worship. We spend time with our Lord Jesus Christ when we're in prayer. But it's not just in those moments. Remember, all of life. In all of life, we're in the classroom of our rabbi, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's always teaching us, and we are to be thinking upon him, we are to be thinking on his word, and living to serve him in all of life. We're to abide with him, that means we depend upon him, and that's what we learned in the Lord's Supper this morning, isn't it? We depend upon him, we need him constantly, we need him always. So disciples are those who live with him and abide in him because they're called by him. Is that you? Do you dwell with him and abide with him? That's what a disciple does. That's the first thing we know, learn about a disciple, living with the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, a student of this rabbi will study, learn, and apply his teaching. When we are brought into a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we become students of his. Jesus Christ will be our teacher. He will be our rabbi. And we will learn from him. Spending time with him means listening to him. Listening to his instruction. And taking time then to read what he says in the Holy Scriptures. By the way, that's what's most important for us. What does our Lord Jesus Christ say? I can remember years ago, probably when I was in college, there were those who would wear these little bracelets, and on those bracelets would be four letters, WWJD. Maybe some of you remember those. What would Jesus do? It was meant to be a reminder to Christians of Jesus Christ and to think in different circumstances in which they found themselves, what would Jesus do? The difficulty with that in part is we don't always know what Jesus would do in different circumstances because all of the circumstances we face aren't exactly the circumstances that our Lord Jesus Christ faced. But as I was thinking about this in preparation for preaching on this text, the thought came to me and the idea came to me when we see Jesus as our teacher, isn't the most important thing what does Jesus say? What does Jesus say? He's our teacher. What does he say about what I'm facing right now? When I go through suffering and hardship in my life, what does the Lord Jesus Christ, my teacher, have to say about this and how I respond to it as I go through it? When I'm making decisions, maybe big decisions, but maybe just ordinary ones. Every day we have decisions that we make, and we should be thinking as disciples of Jesus Christ, what does Jesus Christ say about this? What's a principle to follow? He says love. What does that mean for me as a parent in this situation? He says love. What does that mean for me as a child and my brother or sister did something to me or took something from me? What does Jesus say about these things? You see, disciples of Jesus Christ study, learn, and apply his teaching. That means for us that we ought to be devoted to the study of the Word of God. Tonight, I would like to encourage you to do that. We're very good, at least I know for those around me, and even for myself at times too, the tendency to rely upon what others say about the Word of God to understand the Word of God. We've got helpful study Bibles and we've got notes in the bottom of those. And so right away we look at those notes in the bottom of our study Bible, or maybe we turn to commentaries, or now we can go to sermon audio, or we can go to the Reformed Witness Hour and we can listen to a sermon on a particular text so that we can have someone else tell us how to look at that text and interpret that text. Now those things aren't bad of themselves. But let's see and understand that we all are given the Spirit of truth. And you and I all have the ability to understand that word because of the gift of the Holy Spirit to us. May I be an encouragement to you to sit down and take time to study your Bible. Not merely be taught by others about what the Bible says. We need to learn what the Scriptures say to us personally. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ himself in the Holy Scriptures. I say that because the weakness that we find at times in the church and for us individually and in our homes often can be directly attributed from the fact that we don't know our Bibles. We don't know our Bibles. If we don't know the Bible, we won't know our Lord. We don't know the one who is teaching us in the Word. Remember what we read in Scripture about the Bereans. Remember the Bereans? They search the Scriptures daily to know what the apostles were teaching them, if it was the truth or not. That should be us, searching the Scriptures daily. If we're not doing this, we're going to be weak Christians. If we're not doing this, we're going to be weak in our homes. If we're not doing this, we're going to be weak in faith and we'll be weak in godliness. Disciples of Jesus Christ, study what he says, learn what he says, and apply what he says to life. Thirdly, a disciple of Jesus Christ follows his example. So remember, a disciple of Jesus Christ lives with him, applies the what is learned from him, but we also follow his example. Because when you live with this teacher and you're focused on this teacher and you see how he lived his life, then you're going to be influenced by that teacher. There are many ways in which we can understand that influence. We live in a world today that talks about influencers. There's so many who want to be influencers on social media, and they'll write things, and they do things, and they want people to follow them and to be influencers of them. Well, the reality is we all have an influence upon other people. I was thinking about this, I was thinking about that in my own marriage and in my own home, and how frightening that is a bit for me. that I can influence my wife and I can influence my children. We've been married almost 28 years. My children are getting older. They learn things from me. And hopefully they learn some good things, but there are certainly some wrong things and sinful actions that they learn from me. And that's a frightening thought. But we should see and understand that when it comes to our Lord Jesus Christ, you're never going to have a bad influence from the Lord Jesus Christ. The more time you spend with Him, the more you see godliness and holiness, the more you see love and humility, and disciples then are called to reflect that. Just think about Jesus' day. If there were students who lived with their teachers, what an influence they have. And we know that from our children too sometimes. They come home and no matter what you tell them, if their teacher told them that, you can't convince them otherwise because the teacher said it. I have that sometimes even in catechism. Well, our teacher said this and she told us that. There's an influence that that teacher has upon them. Same is true of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're called to follow Him. That means reflect Him. Live following His example. Jesus speaks of that later in the Gospel according to John in chapter 13. Chapter 13, you remember in John 13, we have the record there of Jesus washing His disciples' feet. And remember what He said after He washed His disciples' feet. He instructs them. Verses 13 and 14, He says, "Ye call Me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am." So there's that name Master again. "If I, then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you." That's part of what we learn from our Lord Jesus Christ, not just from His words, but from His life and from His ministry. And the more we study that, and the more we understand that, the more we see how we are to live our lives. As disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're called to follow His example. That means the example of His humility, the example of His love. Philippians 2, we're called to have the mind of Christ. And then it goes on to speak of His humility and His love, His righteousness and His holiness in our marriages, in our parenting, and the relationship that we have with our parents, and the relationships you have with your brothers and sisters and your classmates at school. We are to follow the example of Jesus Christ. And we need that example because we struggle with that old man of sin within us. And Jesus Christ shows us the way we are to live, not following our sinful, selfish desires, but following Him. So disciples of Jesus Christ live with Him, they learn from Him, they follow His example, and the fourth thing is this, they witness to others. We took notice of that earlier, that the Lord Jesus Christ used that to call disciples, but now we look at it from the perspective of what we are to do as disciples of Jesus Christ. We see here in John 1 that both Andrew and Philip witnessed to others when they were called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Andrew went to his brother Peter and called him to follow Jesus, and brought his brother to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Philip did the same with Nathanael, but with different results initially. Nathanael went, but he went doubting. Can there be any good thing that comes out of Nazareth? But it was the Lord Jesus Christ who broke the stubbornness of Nathanael's heart. But what we want to see from this is that a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ has the calling to witness to others, or using the language of the Great Commission, to make disciples of Christ. That's really the idea when Jesus Christ sends out His church to teach in the nations. The idea of the word is make disciples. Now, I know our children are not objects of mission work. I don't mean to say that they are. But this is an important calling that we have as parents and even as grandparents and as church, that the coming generations are taught in the truth of the Word of God. We make disciples. We teach our children to be followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. But not only that, more broadly then, as we live in this world and we have people in our neighborhoods that we come to know and people in the workplace that we come to know, and maybe there's someone that we meet in a coffee shop or whatever it might be, we have the calling to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. Think of the zeal that you find in these disciples. The zeal that they had. John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb of God." And he tells his disciples to follow him. Then Andrew, he's excited. He can't wait to go and tell his brother Peter, "Peter, we found the Messiah, the one who is the Christ, the one who's been promised." Philip does the same thing with Nathanael. "Nathanael, we found this one, the one who Moses speaks of, the prophets speak of." There's an excitement. They can't contain themselves. They must speak to others about this Christ. What about us? We've been filled this morning by Jesus Christ as we were pointed to him in the Lord's Supper, and as the preaching pointed us to him as well and our need for him to have peace with God. Is there not a zeal and excitement on our part? We belong to Christ. We know his saving work. We're delivered from the punishment of sin, and we see so many other people around us who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're in the darkness and blindness of sin. We want to speak to them, declare the glorious riches of salvation in him, and call them to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Disciples of Christ, witness to him. And so that's what it is to be a disciple, a student, a learner under this rabbi, Jesus Christ. But there's also something that is set before us for the future. For the future. That comes when we look at the last two verses of the text. This is after Nathanael comes to Jesus and he confesses in verse 49, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Nathanael comes to that because Jesus Christ told him, "I knew you even before we locked eyes, before we met. I knew you. I saw you under the fig tree, and I knew the kind of man that you were." Nathanael's amazed at that. Well, notice what Christ then says to him. Jesus answered, verse 50, and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." Now just think about that for a moment. Think about the things that Nathanael and the other disciples would see. It's as if Jesus is saying to Nathanael, "Nathanael, you haven't seen anything yet." Think about it. The next chapter, Jesus changes water into wine. And then you think of all the miracles. He healed the sick. He cast out devils. He calmed the waves and the wind on the Sea of Galilee. He walked on water. He multiplied bread and fish on two occasions, feeding great multitudes. Nathanael and the disciples saw all of these things, and still, that paled in comparison to what was ahead, the cross, and then the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the third day, and then the ascension of Jesus Christ and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and what a change that that made in their lives as they went from Old Testament believers living in types and shadows to New Testament believers understanding so much more. Jesus is saying to them, "You haven't seen anything yet. There's so much more to come." That's an important word for us too. There are many things that we've seen and that we know of our Lord Jesus Christ. We haven't seen anything yet. There's more to come. When you think about what God is going to do in your lives, we don't know what the future holds, but this we do know. We are held in his hand, and there is growth in faith and godliness. there's great things to come. That's the hope we have in Jesus Christ. And if nothing else, it's heaven itself. You and I haven't seen anything yet when we think about what is to come in heavenly glory. But now Jesus uses an Old Testament passage to drive this home, this idea that in the future you're going to see great things. He drives that home by referring back to something that happened in Genesis 28. It's in verse 51 it's recorded, and he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Jesus here is using the dream that Jacob had of a ladder. Remember the occasion for that. The occasion for that is Jacob tricked his father into giving him the birthright blessing, and Esau was ticked. Esau was mad. Esau wanted to kill Jacob. So Jacob's going to flee to Uncle Laban. He flees. He's alone. Night falls. He's exhausted. He's tired. And he lays his head down upon a rock for a pillow that night. And God sends him a dream. And what's the dream that he sees? Well, he sees a ladder, and he sees angels ascending and descending on that ladder from heaven. What was the point of that dream? Well, the point of that dream is what God said to Jacob after the dream. God was promising to Jacob that he would be with him. Jacob, I am with you. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. And you're leaving the promised land now, but I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you back. And the Christ, he will come. What Jehovah God is doing to Jacob at that time is renewing his covenant promise to him. And Jacob's response to that was he named the place Bethel, which means literally house of God. There was no building there, but he named it Bethel, house of God, because God had come there and appeared to him and comforted him. What this all tells us is that we can have the confidence of the future good because that's what God promised to Jacob long ago. Our Lord Jesus Christ was saying the fulfillment of that dream is in Jesus Christ himself. And it's through him that heavenly spiritual realities are open to his people. He opens these spiritual realities to us because we are reconciled to God. And now God is going to show us great and amazing things. God's promise to you and me in Jesus Christ is, your disciples, it's not easy to be disciples, but I'm with you. And I will take care of you. And I'm going to show you great things. I'm opening heaven to you. And not just one day we'll go there, but the spiritual realities of heaven and the truth of heaven is opened up to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. We have that as we go through our lives, and one day we will have that more fully when we are brought to our heavenly home. And so the point of Jesus Christ is, the point of our rabbi is, keep following me. Live with me. Learn from me. Follow my example. And witness to others of me. There may be hardship, there may be persecution, others may mock at you, but don't be afraid. Christ is with you. He will give you the strength that you need, and he is going to open up more and more of these heavenly realities through our lives until we are brought to our heavenly home. What a teacher he is. And what a blessing it is to be a disciple, to be a student in the school of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the reminder tonight that we are disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for setting before us what it is to be a disciple of Christ. Grant us strength to be faithful. Grant us strength to follow. Open our eyes to learn truth and to see truth. And may we live our lives dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ in gratitude for all that he has done for us. Work this in our children and our young people as well, that they may love the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives as well. Bless us in this night. Bless us in this new week, that we may go forward refreshed and renewed and ready to serve Jesus Christ in all we do. This we pray in his name. Amen.